Well, good afternoon to you all. My name is German Koopmans. I will be talking about cadmium uptake by brown rice and about soil protection. First, I would like to acknowledge my colleague, Paul Rumkens. He could not be here, unfortunately, so that's why I am giving the talk. Also, I would like already now to acknowledge our co-workers from the TARI, which is the Taiwan Agricultural Research Institute, who did most of the practical work which is presented during this talk. Outline of my presentation. I will first kick off with the problem setting. Then I will continue with some information about metal dynamics in soil, the objectives of our work, field experiments that we have done, some results, evaluation of soil quality standards, and the soil plant models that we have derived. And I will conclude my talk with a summary. Okay, the problem setting. Well, all around the world, there is an increasing pressure on land for food production. And this is causing emissions of metals from cities, industry, traffic, and agriculture to soils. This is an example from Taiwan. Paddy soils, located very close next to industry, to roads, and to cities, causing all kinds of pollution of the soil. This is another example from Taiwan. Again, a paddy rice field located very close to a factory. So, in Taiwan, people are dealing with increased concentrations of metals in soil. This is causing elevated levels of metal in raw food materials, increased exposure to humans, and that's why it is important to protect soils in order to safeguard the quality of food. Okay, a framework of metal dynamics that we used in our work. We used a very simple functional metal pool concept in our work. Metals can be present either in the inert non-reactive pool contained within the soil solid phase. They can be present in a reactive pool, but they can also be present in soil solution. The equilibrium between the reactive pool and the soil solution is very fast, and that means if plants are taking up metals from soil solution and if the concentration is lowered, that the reactive pool is buffering the metal concentration in soil solution. So actually, the reactive metal pool is buffering, is controlling the metal concentration in soil solution. The equilibrium between this inert non-reactive pool and the reactive pool is very slow. So on short time scales, this inert non-reactive pool hardly contributes to the reactive metal pool. Well, the total metal content can be measured with aqua regia. The reactive pool can be measured with dilute nitric acid, and this is one of the many methods that can be used to measure this pool, but we use this method in our work. And soil solution can be mimicked by dilute salt extracts, and in this work we use 0.01 molar calcium chloride. If you want to predict metal uptake by plants, you can use so-called transfer functions. And these are basically multiple regression-derived log-log relationships. You can predict metal uptake from the calcium chloride extractable metal pool by using this relationship, in which the metal content in plants is dependent on the metal concentration in the calcium chloride extract. You can also do it for the reactive metal pool contained within the soil solid phase. And with this type of relationship, the metal content in the plant is dependent on the metal content in this reactive metal pool, pH and CEC. Soil quality standards in many countries are often based on total metal contents. However, it is widely known that total metal contents give a very poor indication of the bioavailabilities of metals in soil, because total metal content not only include the reactive metal pool, but they also include this inert non-reactive pool. So then the question arises, is it possible to sufficiently protect soil quality in relation to food safety using soil quality standards which are based on total metal contents? And another question that arises is, do soil plant models, which take bioavailability of metals into account, give a better protection? Okay, so then I arrive at the objectives of our work. The objectives were to perform field experiments, to collect data on metal concentrations in the soil solid phase, soil solution, and the plant. to generate soil plant models linking metals in soil to metals in the plant, and to compare these soil plant models with soil quality standards, which are based on total metal content in soil, in their performance to safeguard quality of food. And this whole study is focusing on cadmium in paddy rice fields in Taiwan. Our field experiments. So we selected 19 different paddy fields in Taiwan, and on each of these paddy fields, 12 different cultivars of Japonica and Indica were grown. 8 cultivars for Japonica and 4 cultivars for Indica. The rice was harvested 2 times each year for 2 consecutive years. And at time of rice harvesting, also soil was sampled. Soil analysis that we performed pH and CEC, and we also performed extractions with 0.01 molar calcium chloride, dilute nitric acid, and aqua regia. And obviously, we also measured the metal content in the rice grains and in the roots. So finally, after 2 years, we ended up with a database of more than 3,000 paired combinations of soil and plant data. And based on this database, we derived the soil plant models. And during this talk, I will focus only on the calcium chloride model. Okay, some results. In this figure, I show you the number of rice grain samples that is exceeding the food quality standard. On the y-axis, you find the percentage of rice grain samples that is exceeding the food quality standard. And in this figure, I use a food quality standard of 0.4 milligram per kilogram of rice grain. This is the food quality standard that is used in Taiwan. On the x-axis, you find the total soil cadmium concentration. And in Taiwan, soil quality standard is based on aqua regia, and its critical value is 5 ppm. So what you basically see here, well, the colored bars are for Indica and the white bars are for Japonica. But what you see here is that at total cadmium levels lower than 5 ppm, already a relatively large percentage of Japonica and Indica samples exceed the food quality standard, especially for Indica. If you use the food quality standard of 0.2 milligrams per kilogram, which is proposed by the World Health Organization, then the situation becomes much worse. For Indica, at a total soil cadmium level of less than 0.3, already 50% of the rice grain samples exceeds the food quality standard. So based on this figure, you can already say that soil quality standards based on total cadmium content do not provide a good protection of soil quality in relation to food safety for all soils. So an alternative would be to use a soil plant model. So for both Japonica and Indica cultivars, we derived a calcium chloride model. And this model had the following form. Cadmium in rice grains is dependent on the cadmium concentration in calcium chloride extract and the zinc concentration in the calcium chloride extract. And it seems a bit odd, perhaps, to use zinc in this relationship, but zinc contributed significantly to this model. And well, I won't go into details about the exact values of these coefficients, but the sign of this B value was negative. So that means that the higher the zinc concentration in the calcium chloride extract, the less cadmium was accumulating in the rice grains. And this can probably be explained by a competition mechanism between cadmium and zinc at the root surface for uptake by the rice plant. So in the next few slides, I will evaluate soil quality standards and soil plant models to safeguard the quality of food. Well, rice grain data can be used to assess the suitability of soil for rice cropping. In this example, I will use a food quality standard of 0.2 milligram cadmium per kilogram. So if the measured cadmium content in rice grains is lower than the food quality standard, then the sample falls into category A. That means that the soil is suitable for rice cropping. The other possibility is that the measured cadmium content in rice grains is higher than the food quality standard. Then the sample falls into category D, and that means that the soil is unsuitable for rice cropping. You can also perform this evaluation for aqua regia. Soil quality standard in Taiwan is based on Aqua Regia, and its critical value is 5 ppm. And again, I use a soil quality standard of 0.2 milligram cadmium per kilogram. So if the soil test is lower than the soil quality standard, and if the measured cadmium content in rice grains is lower than the food quality standard, then the sample falls into category A. You have got a correct prediction then, meaning that the soil is suitable for rice cropping. But you can also have a false negative. Soil test is higher than the soil quality standard. The measured cadmium content, however, is lower than the food quality standard. Then the sample falls into category B, which is the false negative. You can also have a false positive. The soil test is lower than the soil quality standard, but the cadmium concentration in the rice grains is higher than the food quality standard. Then the sample falls into category C, which is the false positive. And again, you can have a category D, meaning that both the soil test is higher than the soil quality standard and the measured cadmium content in the rice grains is higher than the food quality standard. So especially this category C is a dangerous category because the soil test is saying that your soil is safe for rice production, whereas in fact the measured cadmium content is higher than the food quality standard. Well, you can perform the same evaluation for the calcium chloride model to assess the suitability of soil for rice cropping. So, again, if model prediction is lower than the food quality standard and if the measured cadmium content in rice grains is lower than the food quality standard, then the sample falls into category A. The soil is suitable. Again, you can have a false negative. The model prediction is higher than the food quality standard and the measured cadmium content in rice grains is lower than the food quality standard. Model prediction can also be lower than the food quality standard, cadmium in rice grains higher than the food quality standard, false positive. And you can also have category D again, model prediction is higher than the food quality standard and the cadmium in rice grains is higher than the food quality standard. And again, this category C is the dangerous category. Okay, these were boring slides, but now I will go to the data again. So if you look at the rice grain data, then 41% of the data falls into category A, meaning that 41% of the soil samples is in principle suitable for rice cropping, whereas 59% of the samples falls into category D, meaning that the soil is unsuitable for rice cropping. If you perform the same assessment based on Aqua Regia, then still 41% falls into category A, but only 26% falls into category D. And 33% falls into category C. And category C was the category where the soil test is lower than the soil quality standard, but the measured cadmium content in rice grains was higher than the food quality standard, the false positive. So apparently, Aqua Regia is not able to sufficiently protect all of your soils, because in 33% of all cases, it was not safe to produce rice. The calcium chloride model, 35% falls into category A and 51% falls into category D, and only 8% into category C and 6% in category B, meaning that 14% of all of your samples were wrongly predicted, which is much better than for the Aqua Regia. Okay, summary. Even at total cadmium contents far below soil quality standard of 5 mg cadmium per kilogram, cadmium in rice grains exceeded the food quality standard set by Taiwan and the World Health Organization. The use of the total cadmium content as a soil quality standard gave a poor protection of the soil in relation to food safety. The calcium chloride model gave good predictions of the cadmium concentration in rice grains. And the calcium chloride model was much more effective than Aqua Regia in identifying soils where cadmium in rice grains will exceed food quality standards. Well, if you're interested in reading about these data, we have published two papers about it, one in Journal of Soils and Sediments and one in Environmental Pollution, and more papers are on their way. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
Any questions for our speaker?
You know, among people who are looking at bioavailability, it seems to me that they're moving towards models that look at the toxic effect versus the free metal ion concentration. Is there any way of, in the pore water, is there any way of measuring that in the case of cadmium? And if so, what is your comment on that?
It's absolutely possible to measure the free cadmium concentration in calcium chloride extracts and to link this concentration to...
No, I mean in situ.
In situ, that's possible. At Wageningen University, we have developed an in situ Donner membrane technique device, which can really be applied in situ to measure the free metal concentration, for instance, at the moment when these paddy rice fields, when the water level is high. We've already tested this device in the River Rhine just by inserting this DMT cell into this river, and we have shown that this works. So next year we will get a PhD student from China who will come to work with us, and we are planning to test this idea to use these DMT cells in situ to measure free cadmium concentrations.
If you have any questions, hold on to them. For when we adjourn. Let's thank our speaker again.